Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everybody, and special guest. Welcome to our special guests. We're happy that you're with us today. The service is printed for you, and we'll follow that. I have the only announcement I have is the one about the food pantry and Buck and Handel about that. Are there other announcements?
Yes. As some of you know, we had a garage sale yesterday and Friday and a bake sale with it for the purpose of raising half the funds go to get a third Oscar Shines, and we got enough to do that, and the other half go for an account for moving the new pastor whenever we get a new pastor. We had help from Larry, sold some books. We had help from the other congregation, UCC. We had lots of people bake stuff and bring stuff. And we only got $1,290. And so we have a little food left over. We need it to be $1,300. So we need some little more money on the church, and the food is over there. And we got a little money from Thriver. So it was really great. Super preacher. I'm not going to name names because I'd be up here all morning and I'd forget somebody. So thank you all.
Thank you. Other announcements? Then let us stand and turn to the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is here. Let's sing about it. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading today is from the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel challenges those who think they cannot change because of their parents, who their parents were or did, or who they think they cannot, or who they think they cannot reverse their own previous behavior. God insistently invites people to turn and live. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent, as well as the life of the child, is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, then they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save life. because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed. They shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll read the psalm responsively, and we're reading Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore, you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. The second reading today is from the second chapter of Philippians. As part of a call for harmony rather than self-seeking, Paul uses a very early Christian hymn that extols the selflessness of Christ and his obedient early death on the cross. Christ's selfless perspective is to be the essential perspective we share as a foundation for Christian accord. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe in him? But if we say of human origin, we will be afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go to work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not go. But later he changed his mind and he went. They said, the father went to the second and said to the same, and he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are going to the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Because we added a baptism and Holy Communion to this service, I was looking at the sermon that I wrote and I thought, we'll be here all morning. So I decided to abbreviate it, and I feel bad about making that change because there was some good stuff in the other part. So if you want to see it, you can read it. It's been printed. But it's hard to make changes, isn't it? We get our minds set on something and we're going to do it. And when we find out we're not supposed to or we need to change, it's really hard to change. But we always have these choices in life. Some choices lead to life and a better life. Some choices lead to death. We have to make those choices, and as much as we would like to avoid it, they come upon us. In our recent readings today, we're reminded that those choices are for everybody. The religious as well as the non-religious, everybody has to make them. I remember seeing a notice about, or an article about some of the saints of the past who talked about how they had to empty themselves of themselves. It's something all of us have to face because sometimes we're so full of ourselves that God can't get in. There isn't room for God. We have to let go of that. Over the past several weeks, our gospel has dealt with forgiveness. And we've talked about how forgiveness is so important. If we hold on to the sin of others, if somebody sins against us and we hold on to that, we're dragged down by it. The only way we get relief is if we let go of it, forgive, and let go. The person who has sinned still has to deal with their sin. It's still theirs. They're attached to it. They're drugged down by it. That doesn't mean that we have to. We have to let go. The word repent means to turn around, to change directions. And we have to find a way that we now can change our direction to go in the way that God wants us to go. In our first reading, the people of Israel were trying to say they didn't need to do that. That they really were, it was out of their control. But we all make excuses, just like they did. You know, it started with Adam and Eve, remember? Adam, when he's called on the carpet for eating the forbidden fruit, says, "Oh, well, God, it really wasn't my fault. It was that woman you gave me." And when he confronted Eve, he said, "Well, God, it really wasn't my fault. It was that serpent you created. It's your fault, God." We do that all the time. How many of you have seen the movie or been to the play, The West Side Story? Have you ever? Some of you have. Some of you, it's way before your time. But in The West Side Story, it's a musical in which there are some gangs that are fighting one another. And the one gang, the Jets, are always in trouble with the law. And they act out one scene in which one of them plays the part of an officer who arrests another one. And he drags him before the social worker. And then he goes to the psychiatrist. And then he goes to the judge. And each one of them has a different excuse for why this guy is always in trouble. It is a social problem. It's an educational problem, get poor education. It's the parents. It's always the parents' fault. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And that's what the people of Israel are trying to do to when Ezekiel is on the scene. Ezekiel writes to them and says, I'm going to summarize all of that he says in one word. He uses different words, but you'll get the idea. His answer to what their excuses is, baloney. How's that for summarizing something? It's a bunch of horse pucky. You sinned, you can change. It's as simple as that. There's no big theology about it. It's you sin, you repent, you turn back to the Lord. When Paul is writing to the Philippians, he loves the Philippians. They're probably one of his favorite churches that he writes to. And he is concerned that they're starting to squabble among themselves. And he says, let go of all those squabbles. And bottle yourself after Jesus, who even though he was in the form of God, did not think equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and became obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. That's what Paul is trying to get them to do. Now, in our gospel today, Jesus is meeting some people who are full of themselves. It's the chief priest, the big wig, and his church council, the elders. And they come to Jesus because they're trying to put him on the spot. And Jesus knows that they don't have any real good excuse. They don't know that because, like I said, they're full of themselves. Jesus tells them about the story about these two sons. The father sends them out. Sends one out and says, I want you to go out there in the field. And he said, oh, Dad, I don't want to do it. It's hot out there. I get dirty. I have to work with those people who stink. I'm not going out there. But later, he changes his mind and he goes. The other son, he says, go out there and work in the vineyard. And he says, sure, Dad, I'll do it. But he doesn't go. And then Jesus asks them, which one of these did the will of the Father? Of course, the one who actually did what his word said. There's a fable, that is an Aesop's fable, that tells about a fox that's running away from a hunter and some hounds. And he comes across a guy chopping down a tree, a woodcutter. And he says, please help me, they're going to kill me. Help me find a place to hide. And the woodcutter says, go into my hut. They'll never find you. So the hunter and the hounds arrive. And the hunter says, have you seen the fox? And the woodcutter says, no, but he shakes his head and tries to point to where the fox is hiding. Well, fortunate for the fox, the hunter didn't see where he was pointing and took off. So the fox comes out and he just takes off. And the woodcutter says, what's the deal here? How ungrateful can you be? You didn't even say thank you. And the fox said, I would have had your deeds been as good as your words. That's what Jesus is saying to the elders and the chief priests. You say good things and you proclaim good things, but you don't live by them. Your deeds and your words are not the same. Throughout our lives, we're faced with those kinds of dilemmas. How do we live the Word of God? How do we fill ourselves with it, so that we can live by it? When we came 2 years ago, those of you who were here probably remember the turmoil. A little bit of dissension here and there, and some difficult times, and the very first church council meeting we had. And this happened not just here, but at Union also. First council meeting, the question was, how soon can we get a call committee going? And I had to say, whoa, we're not ready for that. And we had to go through this transition process whereby we emptied ourselves of some of the old stuff and filled ourselves with new stuff, the new way of doing things. When I first started gardening, I was doing, my specialty was medicinal herbs. And one of them that I've read a lot about, but I'd never seen. I don't know why. I didn't look at the spice cabinet, but it was rosemary. So I bought this packet of seeds. And I thought, I'll start from scratch. I'll just plant these seeds. I went out. I found a pot out in the garage. It had probably been there since before Methuselah. It was old, but it had dirt in it. I thought, fantastic. I don't even have to buy any potting soil. So I planted my rosemary seeds, and I watered them, and I took care of them. Nothing came. Well, I read in the book that rosemary is very hard to germinate. I mean, it's hard to grow the seed. So I thought, well, I'll just wait a little longer. Well, pretty soon, I had this little sprig come up, and I thought, wow, I've got rosemary. So I nurtured this plant till it was about that tall. I took it out into my garden and transplanted it, and I was just so proud of this. I had a friend came over who taught vocational agriculture, and I was showing him my rosemary plant. And I said, isn't it fantastic? I got to grow from seed. And he just looked at it, shook his head. Pretty soon he said, I don't think that's rosemary. I said, well, what do you think it is? He said, that looks an awful lot like smooth leaf ragweed. I should have emptied the pot and put new potting soil in there. But instead, I let the old seep up. And sometimes we have to do that. What Paul says to the Philippians, empty ourselves and become obedient to God. And as we grow together as the people of God, that's what happens when we can get rid of some of the old, but nurture the good that is there. That's what the transition team and the church council discovered over the last 2 years. We have so much good that goes from it. And we have another blessing, and that is that this church is founded on solid, good, living roots, going all the way back over 100 years. And all we need to do is nurture the goodness within it and see what we can become. And I am absolutely convinced that God is calling this congregation to something way beyond our belief. It's going to happen. It's happening. And God is lifting us up so that we can be the people of God in Buffalo. And that's the good news, the really good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing the first two verses of the hymn, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. In mercy and love gives us new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. The power of sin is put to death in this holy blood, and we are raised with Jesus Christ to new life. We are united with all the baptized in one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and sent out in mission for the life of the world. Do you present Annika, Ian, Andrew, and Isaiah for this special sacrament?
We do.
As Mary and Joseph presented Jesus, their greatest treasure, to God in the temple, you've now presented your children. Let us proclaim our faith in God, who makes each one of us his own child in holy baptism. Will the congregation join us? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do you as a congregation promise to be faithful to Annika, Ian, Andrew, and Isaiah in all their needs, support them in their baptismal promises, and help them to grow in the graciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
You may be seated. Christ will first be known to your children by the Christ seen in your home. If you worship your children will see the importance of worship. If you study your Bible, your children will see the Word of God as important to them. Therefore, in the presence of God and this congregation, I ask you, who are parents and sponsors of Annika, Ian, Andrew, and Isaiah, do you renounce the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises?
We do.
Will you constantly, by word and action, share your faith in God? Will you share your belief that God shows himself as a Father who created and still creates, as the Son who died for our sins, and as the Spirit who promises to walk side by side with each of us each day of our lives? Will you place in your children's hands as early in life as possible the tools of our Christian faith, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Scriptures? Will you do this through your own example in life?
We will, God.
Will you worship regularly with your children, showing them by example that the life and fellowship of the church are important to their spiritual growth in faith?
We will, with the help of God.
Remember then, Annika, Ian, Andrew, Isaiah are yours, gifts from God, new creations, given to you for a season to love and to care for and to prepare for their eternal life. Let us pray. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks. For in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish, cleanse, and sustain us and all living things. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and make this water a water of cleansing. Wash away the sins of Annika, Ian, Andrew, and Isaiah, and bring them forth as inheritors of your glorious kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see. Hopefully I don't use everything here. Who is first? All right. Okay. Annika Jordan Huntley. You want to hold it over? Uh-huh. Annika Jordan Huntley, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lean over. That's it. I won't drown you. Ian Alexander Goddard, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Andrew Thomas Goddard, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Isaiah Ray Goddard, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, do it this way. We'll just do one at a time, otherwise. Annika, child of God. Oops. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Okay. Ian, child of God, you have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit for now and eternity. Amen. And Andrew, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And Isaiah, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Boy, I made a mess. You guys never make messes like that, do you? That's good. Let's see. I need to wipe my hands before I do anything else. Ah, there we go. For those who were back there and didn't see it, I spilled the oil all over. Receive the lighted candle as a symbol of that new life which is ours in Christ Jesus.
Annika and Ian, Andrew and Isaiah, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has entered your lives this day and made you eternal children of God. This candle symbolizes that light of the world that shines in your heart. Each year, this symbol of that eternal light should be rekindled on the anniversary of your baptism as a reminder of God's gracious love for you. As you grow in years, your parents will explain the meaning of your baptism to you in addition to telling you about the importance of your new birth as children of God. Let your lights so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Through baptism, God has made these new children members of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as fellow members of the body of Christ, children of the same Heavenly Father, and workers with us in the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the family. We're glad that you have come. Share your life with us as we grow in love, and may we always be to you what God would have us be, a family always there to be strong and to lean on. May we learn to love each other more with each new day. May words of love be on our lips in everything we say. May the Spirit melt our hearts and teach us how to pray, that we might be a true family.
We were going to sing that. So you may be seated. I'll sing one verse of it. How's that be? While you're doing that, go ahead. Oh, you might want to blow those out. Welcome to the family. We're glad that you have come. Share your life with us as we grow in love, and may we always be for you what God would have us be, a family always there to be strong and to lean on.
melt our hearts and teach us how to pray, that we might be a true family. Welcome to the family. Be glad that you have come to share your life with us as we grow in love. But God would have us be a family always there to be strong and to lean on, to be strong and to lean on.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the parents of Annika, Ian, Andrew, and Isaiah. Let them always rejoice in the gifts you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism, so they may share eternally with them the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Let us stand and join together in prayer. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. In all the world, give your church unity. Inspire all the baptized with the mind of Christ, where the church is powerful and where it struggles. Shape us with humility and obedience so that your love may be at work in us. Lord, in your mercy, your Son took on all of bodily life in our world, even to death. Preserve and keep your creation, O God. Mend and redeem places that are polluted and damaged, so that all of creation confesses you as Lord. Lord, in your mercy, turn the nations toward life. Where our ways are unfair, give us new hearts and new spirits. Where sin permeates our cultures and institutions, change our minds and teach us to trust your authority. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our lives are yours, O God. Relieve the suffering of those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. Defend the lives and welfare of children who are abused or neglected, hungry or exploited, bullied or lonely. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn this congregation away from our own interests toward the interests of others. Fill us with your compassion and sympathy. Bless ministries of care in our community. Make us signs of your mercy and justice for our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to work through our joint call committee collectively and through each member individually. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our fellowship ministry. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of those potential candidates as well. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you for those who have gone into the kingdom ahead of us. Tax collectors, prostitutes, likely and unlikely, obedient and slow to learn. By their witness, teach us to confess Jesus Christ as Lord in life and in death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Again, we thank you for your offerings. I believe the offering plates are at the back and at the side. And for those who send them in, it's deeply appreciated. It keeps the ministry moving and going. At this time, we'll sing the offertory, "Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful." And in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now.
We thank you, O God.
We know he came to rescue us, a baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for you. Our cross too, every breath you drew was yes, a hallelujah. Remembering his love for us on the way at the table to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Bless, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church without end.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as we hear the Lord's Prayer.
See you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God of life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for the sustaining us in the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we live to praise you and serve our earth and its people through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I understand there is a special benediction. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Deeply appreciated. Let us sing the sending hymn, Lead Me, Guide Me. I was doing pretty good at going.
Say goodbye.
auf Wiedersehen. Till we meet again. So now, go in peace and remember the Lord.